Religion has many victims, and these are the stories of how they survived. You've probably heard it said that the church is supposed to be the safest place you can be. But week after week, headline after headline, story after story, we're reminded that sometimes the very spaces built for sanctuary become the birthplace of scandal.
I 100% agree with that. Every time we turn around, we're taught to run to the church for safety, that it's our shelter, that it'll protect us in the times of storms. And they create the storms, they create the chaos, and they have created individuals to stay in the chaos.
Yes, they have. They have conditioned people to stay in the chaos. From megachurch messes to Bible Belt blowups, from that college student's wretched paper everyone's talking about, to yet another pastor caught up in a cover-up, we're here to talk about the things the church prays you won't notice.
And are you really praying in the church, or are you praying in the church?
Ooh, that is such a good thing to talk about, though, really, because we are going to be having a special episode today. We're obviously starting out a little bit different than we normally do, because today we're going to talk about some of these scandals that are current and these things that are currently happening within the church, because as we do know, there are a lot of Christians that prey upon people a lot more than they pray for them. Because when religion goes astray, people pay the price through spiritual abuse, purity culture fallout, exploitation, and the kind of hypocrisy you couldn't make up if you tried. So we got to be honest, there's a lot to talk about today.
A lot. Let's get started and let's get into it. Because Heather, you and I both personally have witnessed this in the churches that we attended, grew up in, and were faithful to our whole lives. And now that we are on the other side looking in, we see the damage that is being done to those that still maintain and stay within the four walls of the church houses today.
Absolutely. So grab your coffee, your tea, your communion wine, or whatever gets you through the saints and the sinners. Because today, we've got some stories for you. So the first story that I want to talk about today is a scandal that's been going all over social media, and it's been heck of viral this week, and it's about a college student that was failed by her professor. Now, this professor is now on leave from the University of Oklahoma, and I want to read a little bit about this story with you, and then T and I are going to talk about it. A graduate instructor at the University of Oklahoma was placed on leave after giving a student a failing grade for rejecting the notion that someone's identity can fall outside of the two genders assigned at birth. Samantha Fulnecki, 20, received 0 points out of 25 total on a 650-word essay assignment, requiring students to respond to an academic study that examined whether conformity with gender norms was associated with popularity or bullying among middle school students. Samantha's paper stated that God created men in the image of his courage and strength, and he created women in the image of his beauty. He intentionally created women differently than men, and we should live our lives with that in mind, Fulnecki wrote in her essay provided to the Oklahoman. It's frustrating to me when I read articles like this and discussion posts from my classmates of so many people trying to conform to the same mundane opinion, so they do not step on people's toes. I think that is a cowardly and insecure way to live, she added. However, her instructor said the submission failed to answer the questions for the assignment. It contradicts itself, heavily uses personal ideology over empirical evidence in a scientific class, and is at times very offensive. While you are entitled to your own personal beliefs, there is an appropriate time or place to implement them in your reflections. I encourage all students to question or challenge the course material with other empirical findings or testable hypotheses. But using your own personal beliefs to argue against the findings of not only this article, but the findings of countless articles across psychology, biology, sociology, etc., is not best practice, the instructor added. Now, this school has went on to put this instructor on leave because they gave this student a zero. Now, I have taken college courses. Have you taken college courses, T?
Many.
Have you ever been asked to write a paper in any of these college courses?
Every class I have
Now,
a
if
report
you
for.
ever presented a paper to one of your instructors where you didn't cite any of the sources for what it is that you had in your paper, and the only source that you stated was the Bible, and they're looking for academic research on this topic, do you think that it would be acceptable for them to fail you on the assignment?
I have to tell you that all my classes were around psychology, and they had to have three or more stated sites for sources. And we would be given the sources that would be allowed and the sources that would not be allowed. We could
Yes.
do peer journals,
Yep.
we could do books, we could do fictitious books. I am sure she could have quoted and cited scriptures in the Bible and done them accordingly of the way they must be set up for psychology.
Yes.
And that would probably have been accepted. However, it would not be accepted as like a peer journal, but it would be accepted like a fiction book that I would be reading on Aretha Franklin on her
Yeah.
autobiography or something. I would be able to cite the book, the chapter, the verse, who wrote it, and put it in there some way. But you cannot, as a college student, just randomly base a whole paper on your thoughts and ideology if they do not measure up to what the teacher or the professor is requesting for that class.
And I'm me, just like you. You know, I have taken many college courses in the past. I have taken professional college writing courses, okay? And I know for a fact, if I would have ever turned in a paper, first of all, the comprehension and writing level of this paper literally was like a middle school level, okay? So it wasn't even a well-written paper. But for her to not state any sources and literally just state the Bible, not even where you got it out of the Bible or anything like that, it is an immediate fail because that is the basic requirement of writing a college paper is you have to cite your sources. And you're right, there are some sources that are acceptable and other sources that are unacceptable. I remember being told, don't use Wikipedia. Don't cite that as a source because that won't be accepted by us because that's not a legitimate resource to go to for valid information, you know? And
Especially when you're doing a research paper or when you're doing a paper that requires sources to be cited, they are not going to accept just anything that you want to cite in there. They are looking for you to do the research.
absolutely. And not just that, they're looking for you to cite factual information. The Bible is not a factual book. We can't prove the history or the origin. That is a, you know, unprovable book. So if you're doing a college level research paper, that isn't even the document that they would even slightly consider for that level of paper. You know what I'm saying? Like
Right. And
we need to go somewhere else.
I've had Christian professors. Okay. I've had Christian
Yeah.
professors that have been extremely biased in their approach to psychology, but they would always state that these were their opinions, these were their personal beliefs, this is how they feel. When you're writing a paper like that, you definitely have the opportunity to put in your reflection on what you just stated. Like there have been times that I've had to do research papers on extremely difficult topics that were completely against my way of thinking. But it wasn't to teach me my way of thinking. It was to teach me to critically think about
Yes.
somebody else's way of thinking and what the proven facts are with science, with biology, with psychology today. And that doesn't always align with what you and I may think is facts. And it is up to us and that professor to teach us to go look for facts.
Yes. And you know, that's one thing that Christians really don't like to do is go look for facts. And when they do go look for facts, they're looking for something that already confirms what it is that they already think that they know about the world around them. And that's another point that I want to point out with her paper is even the things that she stated in her paper have been disproven time and time again by theologians, by science, for goodness sakes. When she was just flat out stating that there's only two genders, she's literally dismissing an entire people group, which is intersex people. We know that they exist. So you're literally in a college level paper, you're saying, oh, these people that we know exist, no, they don't exist because my worldview says they don't. And that's not right. That's not godly. Like, you couldn't ever say that that's godly because you're literally denying reality to try and prove your point that's not even factual. So, you know, even on that level, she should have been failed just for stating incorrect information in her paper because we know that that is factually untrue. So, you know, the absurdity of it all. And the thing that really gets me about this young girl is now she's claiming that she's being persecuted, and that's why this instructor was put on leave. She's claiming that she's being persecuted for her Christian beliefs, and she has gotten Turning Point USA involved in this situation now, and their lawyers are representing her in court because she is suing. Because she feels like her religious rights have been violated. And my question is, you know, how far are we going to let Christian persecution go when we can clearly see that this girl did not do what was required of her? She didn't meet the, you know, the specifications that her professor had put out, you know, before her. And this to me is just screams like a spoiled, rotten kid who didn't get their own way, and I'm going to throw a fit, you know?
And it just seems like an indoctrinated Christian woman who I have always said is the backbone of patriarchy. They're the ones who promote it, control it, discipline,
Absolutely.
issue the discipline upon it, and feel that they're entitled to their way and that their way is the truth. So help them God. However, I have always said, can you take your facts into a court of law and present that to a jury and to a
Yes.
judge? And if you cannot do that, then you cannot use that as a witness or as evidence and factual testimony.
So, okay, I want to talk about another current events thing that has been happening. And this is something that has been recently trending. And that is people that have a large platform, such as Oprah Winfrey and Mel Robbins, have recently put out media talking about children reconciling with their parents that they are no contact with. And I want to talk about this because you were just talking about women who carry water for the patriarchy. Because women who carry water for the patriarchy are dangerous because they'll come up to you with that southern charm and that smile, but they've got a knife in their hand waiting to stab you in the back with it. And, you know,
If you're
women
lucky enough to
like.
turn around.
Exactly. And women like Mel Robbins and Oprah are guilty of this. They are guilty of carrying this water because they are encouraging children. They are saying, you know, life is too short to not reconcile with your parent that you have cut off. But they're not acknowledging any of the harm that these children have experienced that led them to cutting their parents off in the first place. And they are literally telling these children that have been abused and wounded in horrible ways by their parents, you need to forget all of that ever happened, and you need to just move on with life and love them anyhow. And these are parents that haven't done any work to unpack the harm, to own up to the trauma that they have participated in and the harm that they have participated in. So these women are encouraging people to get back in relationship with people that are still harmful because they haven't put any work, they haven't done any healing, they haven't taken any accountability for the role that they played in their child's suffering.
And if your parents have apologized, have unpacked, or have done the work, quote and unquote, the rest of the world deems necessary, you still are not obligated to go back and make contact.
You're never obligated to
Never.
go back because the
Never.
reality is that they were your parent. They were your parent above all else. That means they were supposed to protect you, defend you, fight for you. All those things, love you fiercely and unconditionally. And if they didn't do those things, they failed you on every level.
And if
You
they
know?
did not provide a safe place for a child to be able to be a child,
No.
you do
And you
not get
know,
the opportunity as an adult, when I have been able to form those safe places for myself, you
yeah.
don't, they don't get the opportunity then to be a part of my safe place that I had to create on my own.
Exactly. And you know, I had to heal from things that I never had a hand in breaking, right? Things that my family had a hand in breaking, that my father broke. And you know, when I look at people like him that I am no contact with, and I see that he hasn't done the work, he hasn't healed, right? Well, he is a person that not only harmed me, but he harmed my children. My daughter had to unpack harm she experienced at the hands of my father, right? And it was never physical, it was always mental and emotional, but it doesn't matter. That damage is still damage. And
Right.
I would never say, oh, nope, it's okay. You haven't put any work in. You're still harmful. You're still out here cutting everybody, but it's okay. We can be in community with you because you don't know any better.
No.
No,
If I
we
had to
aren't doing
learn
that.
better and I had to do better and I had to learn a brand new way of living and I had to become that person that my younger self would have come to today, I'll be damned if they get to reap the benefits of my hard work and my labor
And they won't get
to
to
go
reap the
do the
benefits,
work.
and they won't get to reap the benefits of my silence either. Because
No.
I came from generations of people where we don't talk about the creepy uncle. We don't, you know, we
Right.
don't talk about the family struggles. We walk out of the house and we pretend like we have no issues whatsoever. And I'm here to tell you, we aren't covering up the family secrets anymore because the family secrets becomes a huge problem later on down the road if you don't tell somebody about it, if you don't speak about it, you don't call these things out. Harm breeds more harm.
And not only when we walk away, Heather, but we are taught as we are walking in that door, put your happy face on, make sure you're smiling, do whatever needs to be done. We only have 2 or 3 hours. I'm sure you can do it.
Yep.
Just make sure you don't bring up anything controversial and you make sure that behave how you're supposed to behave, do what you're supposed to do. And sometimes what needs to be done is a match lit to that kitchen.
Absolutely.
And turn around and walk away.
And you know, that is another thing about women is we are conditioned to be meek, mild, submissive, you know, seen, not heard. You do everything that you're told. You don't question it. So when you have women that are out here speaking to people like us, they're trying to put you back in that goddamn box. They're trying to strip you of your voice, your autonomy, your power, your ability to put up boundaries and say, no, you're not allowed to hurt me anymore. They are giving permission for those harmful people to keep harming you. And they're saying, it's okay.
And not only that, right? We were raised where women were policed.
Yep.
And everything we did, everything we said, every outfit of garment or garments that we put on our body, the way our hair looked, the way our face looked, the way we have presented ourselves, whether or not we presented ourselves with in a good spirit or we were presenting ourselves with a bad spirit that day.
Yeah.
Like our vibes were off, right? We were so policed that now that I have learned that I can live life without being policed.
Yeah.
Nobody polices my tone of voice. Nobody polices my choices that I've had to make to survive and my choices that I'm making now, trying to figure out how to live life outside of survival. Nobody. needs to police us any longer.
No, absolutely
They
not.
don't get to tell me because you're a celebrity to forgive and forget. You don't get to tell me because you're Joyce Myers that you went back to your dad who abused you your whole life and you showed him God's forgiveness.
Yep.
What about showing him God's wrath?
Exactly. Why are we still forgiving these horrible men? Why are we still allowing them to have a platform? Like, I am tired of it. And I said this yesterday just on Facebook in a post. Like, your lies about the Bible, your lies about the people that you're in community with, we're not okay with that anymore. We're not accepting it anymore. We're not calling this evil shit holiness anymore. We're calling it out for what it is.
And it
Point
is
blank.
evil and it does harm. And if you don't think it does harm, just go look at somebody who's 50 years old, like I was a couple years ago, and finally decide to start talking out about what happened to us inside church walls and church buildings. Okay. You can say what you want to say, Heather, but if someone says, not in my church, that's because they've got it hidden and it's buried under the carpet and it's been like brushed over like that one church in Kalamazoo this couple weeks ago that was ready to send a homeless shelter to jail. But her husband is working it with the youth inside that sanctuary, and everybody knows he has a record. You do not forgive and forget when your babies are involved. You
No.
do not let it slide when you know that there is a sex offender peeking around the corner or coming in to pick up babies out of a nursery or giving them access to the youth or to the younger children for Sunday school, because you and I know that that is breeding grounds for grooming a child, especially the young females, and I'm not excluding the males because it happens to them as well, but definitely it's a place to groom women and young girls to be exactly like you and I were growing
Yeah,
up. And
exactly.
then when you get our age, you start to unpack in trauma therapy and you wonder why you go into therapy and you start throwing up. You wonder why you pull your hair out while you're sitting there in therapy. You wonder why you've never addressed these issues before and you realize you weren't allowed to be angry. You weren't allowed to be jealous. You weren't allowed to be mad. You weren't allowed to have bad vibes about a person. You were supposed to pray for that person that you had bad vibes for. There was men in that church that I didn't want them laying their hands on me and praying for me over something or being sick. Because whenever the minute they touched me, I would get the creeps from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. And they were not spiritual tinglings going down my spine. But at the time, I was always taught to ignore that because God would make that better. Now I'm 50 unpacking that shit.
There was somebody I'd heard her say yesterday that, she was in an abusive relationship and she went to unpack that in therapy. And that was when her deconstruction began at the same time, because she started hearing the correlations between her abusive relationship that she had with that partner that she had split up with and the relationship she had with God was exactly the same. Serve
Exactly.
me or else. Love me or burn. Do as I say the way I say it, or I'll punish you. It is all abuse. And then when you add on the purity culture on top of it, it makes young girls responsible for the horniness of men, which is so vile and disgusting. Like, a child is not responsible for a man controlling himself. We have literally seen videos of women on the internet within the past couple of weeks. They're showing us that their dogs fucking behave better than grown-ass men do, that they have more control over their animals than we have over grown men. And
And
that
Heather, I've told you this story. I was 16 years old and I had to wear my dresses to where my ankles barely covered. My wrist had to be covered. My neck bones right here always had to be covered.
Yeah.
There was no way that as a 16-year-old girl that I even understood when a pastor stood me up in front of the church and told me that I was causing the men in the church to sin and that the outfit I had on needed to be completely removed and I must go home, change that outfit
Wow.
and come back to church. I remember getting in my car completely humiliated, because this was done in front of 150 people, None of my other girlfriends were stood up there and spoke about. I was the only
Yeah.
female out of the youth. I had to go all the way home. I remember crying all the way home and praying, I'm sorry, God, for doing this. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean
Wow.
to make the men, I'm sorry. What am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to dress? How am I supposed to be more godly, more holy, more acceptable
Yeah.
in your eyes? And then I went home and I changed my dress into the most Pentecostal outfit that I had.
Yeah.
Went back to church, and when I got back to church, I still was made to come up front and repent for causing the sin in the men's lives because they were married men.
Wow. That is so
I can
fucked up.
tell you that that has lasted with me forever.
Yep.
Like, the first thing that I think of when I put something on is, what is somebody going to say about me? How is somebody going to look at
Yeah.
me? Am I going to provoke a married man? Am I going to provoke, a single man? Is my dress attire? Now, I may not say those things out loud, Heather, but those
But
are
you think it,
constant
and that shame,
indoctrinated thoughts.
and it doesn't just affect like what it is that you're wearing out of the house. That shame affects you in the bedroom too, like because it makes you not comfortable to get dressed up in like sexy little things. You know what I'm saying? Like for the longest time, I couldn't wear stuff like that because
Maybe
I
I need
thought
some
I was
sparks of that
a
faster.
whore. You know, like I am going to hell if I dress up like this, right? But it's because they told us to be ashamed of our bodies. They literally taught us to be ashamed of who we are and
Yes.
not have a love for ourselves and an appreciation for our bodies and all the things that they do for us, right? So many of us have a negative image of our bodies and we don't love them the way that we should. And it's because of that conditioning, because we are taught to live for everybody except for ourselves. Like for
Exactly.
real, like that's what we're trained to believe.
And can
And
I tell you, the hardest thing for me to do is that I was always small, always. And then life happened and I gained an extra 200 pounds, right? So when I did the bariatric surgery, can I tell you that I always say that I do videos of my progress, of my weight journey, because if anybody knows trauma, you can see every time I've started to let go of another part of trauma. And
Yeah.
I realized now, looking back, that one of my main reasons for weight was I could be a funny fat girl and nobody ever look at me twice. But what do you do with your body once it starts matching actually who you are and you're
Yeah.
starting to live your authentic life and realize that that body that you hid for all those years is the same body you had as a teenager?
Yeah.
And now you have to come to grips with the fact that the way you dress needs to be exactly how the fuck you want to dress because
Yes.
you're making sure that you're pointing out to patriarchy, you have no control over what I put on my body. And I can
Yes.
tell you that as a 55-year-old gam-gam, there are more booty shorts in my drawer than there are long leggings in my drawer. But it's not because it's like, ooh, I didn't get to wear this when I was growing up. It is because it looks good on my body and it's hot outside.
Yeah.
I don't care what anybody else is saying or
Yep.
thinking anymore. Now, I have to tell you, there are times that I'm like, oh, maybe I shouldn't do this. But then I look at my grandbaby and she looks at me and she's like, snap, gam, gam, let's go. And I realize, right, I may not be the typical gam, gam, right?
You're not supposed to be.
But I'm exactly, but not only am I not supposed to be, I am training extra generations to
Yes.
put on your body what the fuck you want to put on,
Be
and
your
trying to
authentic
tell
self.
Gam Gam, you tell me if somebody says a damn thing about what you have on.
Yes, I love
You know,
it.
because it does become a very part where it was a part of me, right? So I spilled that to my daughter. However, we're not continuing to spill that on to our other generations. Our bodies is our choice, and what we
Yes.
put on them And what we take off of them is also our choice.
And we are not responsible for how other people respond to what it is we do or do not have on our bodies. Their opinions and their perception of us is none of our fucking business.
No, and
Roll
if
on with
you
your
are,
bad bitch self and live life to the fullest and tell them to get wrecked.
and if you are more comfortable and you think modesty is hot,
Go for it. Like
go for it.
I am a more modest dresser and I'm more comfortable with that. And that's totally cool. You know, like it
And
just
I'm
dress
not
what
going.
you are comfortable with. Do what makes you happy.
And if that's what makes you happy, and if you are a man and you are attracted to somebody who is modest, good. It alleviates a lot of
Yes.
issues for me because I ain't your bitch, right?
Yes, exactly. It's like those guys that get on like the internet and they're like, I'm looking for a woman who loves Jesus, is submissive, and all this other shit. And it's like, oh, good, you're not interested in me at all. Like, he doesn't
Dresses
want a lady that's got tattoos or piercings.
appropriately.
I'm glad I'm not your type, okay? Like, 'cause I wouldn't want to be with you anyhow. So
Makes it easy for me. Makes it easy for me, right? So that is, but that is the biggest thing when you think about it, Heather. When you go back to like, okay, I'm uncomfortable in my own skin, right? I
Yeah.
realized that I had to also deconstruct not
Yes.
being comfortable in my own skin. And that
Absolutely.
means putting something on sexy, putting something on pretty,
Yes.
putting something on. And I'm single now, right? I still wear sexy things to bed
And that's okay.
just for me
Yeah.
because I know that I like it. It
Yeah.
doesn't matter if anybody else does or doesn't. But for so many of us, we think that it's only to be for one certain occasion.
Yes. Yes.
That is usually on your back and missionary. But
Listen,
those are the men that want
I
to
have hot
control what we
flashes, so
do.
I sleep in these skimpy little nighties because I have hot flashes like crazy. So if I didn't wear those things, I would die.
Sometimes the only thing I have wrapped around me is a sheet.
Okay, we're going to talk about one more story before we round out the show. And this is going to be about some lawsuits that are occurring against Harvest Christian Fellowship and Pastor Greg Laurie. Two lawsuits became four, four became six, and then six became a dozen. Now, megachurch pastor Greg Laurie and his Riverside, California-based Harvest Christian Fellowship and two former ministers of that church are facing 12 different lawsuits from 12 different men. Each of the men say they were sexually abused while growing up in the Romanian orphanages that Harvest Christian Fellowship founded and funded, but failed to oversee. One of them called Harvest Orphanage Program in Romania a madhouse run by a sadistic pedophile. Harvest has called the suits a form of financial extortion and said that targeting the megachurch has become the near total focus of an attorney at McAllister, Olivieris, a New York and London-based firm. Now, I probably pronounced that last name wrong, but it's okay. Now, somebody says the allegations shock one's conscience. The church said in a statement emailed to two multiple media outlets, we have attempted in good faith to engage with the lawyer, but the lawsuit represents only the latest demand, and in this case, many tens of millions of dollars. Now, I'll just be honest with you. This case is not shocking at all to me. If you are any type of aware of Christian spaces and the rampant pedophilia that occurs within those spaces, you wouldn't be shocked by these allegations either. It was just a few weeks ago that there was a report released that the Church of God organization has been covering up decades of sexual abuse within their organization. A couple of years ago, it was the Southern Baptist Convention released a list that had over 800 names on it of people that had been convicted of molesting and raping children. The Boy Scouts of America is another group that has had a ton of lawsuits against them. We all know the Catholic Church. Again, the Catholic Church has actually had to close several different churches to cover the cost of of the lawsuits. And now churches like these actually carry insurance that protects them from molestation accusations and things like that. So let's talk about this a little bit, T.
And we're not talking about allegations.
We're
We're
talking
talking
about
about
actually proven
convictions,
cases. Yes.
proven cases. Okay. So if you want to start splitting hairs because you're hearing what we say, you're like, oh, that can't be true. We are talking about actual cases that were prosecuted or
Yes.
they're behind and arrested for these crimes.
The list for the Southern Baptist Convention, you literally can go online right now and pull up that entire document, and you can research every name that is on that list. You can find their arrest records, rap sheets, all the good stuff. I used to do videos actually on TikTok called The Creep of the Day, where I was calling out every single name on that list for a little while until it got to be a little bit too much for me mentally to talk about stories of children being abused every single day. Because again, these cases happen most frequently in religious spaces. And I want to talk a little bit about why these happen so frequently in religious spaces. And we're not talking about this just to bash the church, okay? We are talking about this because children are in danger. That's why we're talking about this. And if you're not concerned about that, then that's a problem. You should be, because we're talking about innocent children that are in spaces where they're not even viewed as fully autonomous human beings. They're not viewed as being equal to the adults that they are in the room with. Children in religious spaces are to be seen and not heard. They're to be silent
Yes.
and submissive. They're to be obedient. And they are not to ask questions of anybody, especially somebody in a position of authority over them. Now, when you're raised in these spaces, you're
And I'm
taught,
just
yeah, go
and I
ahead.
just want to interject really quick. And a lot of these times they go to Christian schools by Christian teachers that are
Yes.
pulled right out of the church by Christian leaders who are right inside that same organization. So they go from home, where they possibly are being abused or at least groomed to school, to where they know that it's not allowed for them to discuss or go to anybody. And then they go to church, to where it is also going to. So before you say, well, why didn't that child come up and say something? Please make sure that you understand to whom are they going to speak out
Yes,
to.
yes. And the reality is that when you're in a child and you're in these spaces and you make an accusation like this, it depends on who's in community with you on how seriously that accusation is going to be taken. I know many children that had, made the accusation against the person that was harming them, and their parents literally silenced them and told them to never speak of that again. How dare you say something so evil of a man of God? And this is the problem, because children are taught not to speak ill of a man of God, not say anything bad about these people. So when they finally have the courage to say something and they're met with that type of response from their parents or the people that are in community with them, they have nobody that they can go to. And
Right.
then you do have the children that will speak out. But then it goes south in another way where the church community actually supports the predator and shows up at court and testifies on behalf of the predator. Like,
Right.
these spaces are so dangerous because when you are conditioning children to be obedient, unquestioningly obedient to people in positions of authority above them, and they do not have the language to even identify sexual abuse, because that was me. I was 8 years old and I was being abused on a repetitive basis, and I didn't even have the language to speak on what it is that was happening to me, because my parents were so scared to teach me about sex that they taught me nothing. So when
Nothing.
I was being violated, I didn't even know. It wasn't until many years later, when my mom sent me down to have that birds and bees conversation with me, that I learned that I was already soiled. And
And I
I
can
felt
tell you,
so ashamed
it's
because I had been
disgusting.
taught my whole life that if you give your virginity away, you're nothing but a piece of chewed up gum. You know,
Right.
you're worthless. Your value is gone. All you have is that purity to give your husband. And I remember getting engaged and my brother telling me, hey, you have to tell him that that happened to you just in case he decides not to marry you. I mean, are you serious?
And how old were you when you got married?
16. 16 years old.
That is
And
a
that was
lot of
because of purity
pressure.
culture as well.
And
Yeah.
Heather, I only bring that out because that is a lot of weight on a little 16-year-old girl's
Yeah.
shoulders.
Yeah. Like,
How about
and
him admitting what he did?
yeah.
Or the person or the perpetrator
Yeah.
standing up and making those confessions. Why does the burden of the proof lie upon those of us who are violated
Yeah.
to
And
still
for
understand?
me, nobody even knew until I was 15 that I had been violated. Like, so, and it's crazy when you think about that because all those years I carried all that trauma with me and nobody knew. But oh, there were signs. I had behavior issues in school and I would act out and all kinds of stuff. And my parents sent me to a Christian counselor, and that counselor literally just said, I needed more spankings.
Yeah,
That's what he said. I needed more spankings.
and with me, looking back now with what I know in psychology, I stuttered and was in speech class until I was in second or third grade. And when I'm
Yeah.
tired, I still stutter. You
Yep.
don't know it because I have learned to pause and then
Yeah.
start speaking, but I still stuttered. I bit my fingernails till they bled. One reason why. I always wear nails because without nails, it reminds me of a different place of time. And I
Yeah.
don't ever want to have to remember those things. But I was 26,
Yeah.
sitting in psychology class. I had just escaped the church, the cult that I was raised in for a year. Do you know? I didn't know it was illegal and wrong until I was 26 years old. Because it was just the way our church was. You
Yeah.
heard it happen. People stood up and made confessions. You were part of those confessions, but you knew that you could never, ever say the confessions yourself because you saw what happened to them and you saw what happened to their family. And, my family was, my brother was dating the pastor's daughter. There were many other like extending
Yeah.
fingers of this octopus than just me. I was told continuously if I said anything, I would destroy the home. And then I would make it to where your mama wasn't going to be able to take care of the kids. And my dad would say, and you don't want me to go to prison for the rest of my life.
My
Only
dad
I.
would say stuff like that. He'd be like, "Oh, you go ahead and tell him I'm beating you, and you'll never see me again." Well, what do you go? And they're putting all that onto a child.
A
So of
child from
course you're not going to say a word. You're not going to say a word because you don't want your daddy to go to jail, right? You don't want it to be your fault your daddy goes to jail.
I was 6 years old when I first started being taught that rhetoric. And I remember sitting in psychology class, trembling as my professor is talking. And I'm just like sitting there shaking. And then I just was like sobbing. I
Yeah.
could not catch my breath. I stood up and I walked out of the room. And I stood out in the hallway and I was trying to get myself back under control. And my professor walks outside. She's like, "Are you okay?" And I said, "No." She's like, "You have to stay after class." And I stayed after class and she looked at me. She goes, "Do you want to talk?" I'm like, "I don't even know what to say." I'm like, "But I didn't know
Yeah.
what has happened to me. My whole life was
Yeah.
illegal."
Yeah.
And she's like, "Wait a minute." And my professor was probably the first person that I told about how bad the cult was that I was
Yeah.
raised in and what I was facing or the challenges that
And
I was
you were
facing.
26 years old before
I
you
was
realized that it was
26.
illegal. That's crazy.
I didn't know. We didn't have access to police, to
Yeah.
newspapers,
Yep.
to news reports, to television, to computers, to phones. There was no ways of communication. We didn't talk to our teachers about that. We were
Yeah.
taught when we go in there, you put your best foot forward and you don't tell family secrets. I didn't know it was a family secret because I knew the
Wow.
whole church was doing it.
Yeah, that's
So
crazy.
I just figured that that's the way it was.
That's the way life goes. It's
That's how
normal.
it happens. And and the women either got married and married out into different churches
Yeah.
or something, right? But the men that committed the abuse to this day, Heather, are still sitting on the pews in that church in West Palm Beach, Florida, and it is disgusting. disgusting that they completely allow them to sit there and maintain not only space, but maintain forgiveness,
Oh,
maintain
yeah.
complete inclusion with
They
the
have
community.
titles. And it's the same way with
Oh,
these men that get busted for, hurting
titles.
kids. They will literally shift them from one religious institution to another. And they're still honored. They're still respected. They're treated like we all know when you're in a church, that pastor is treated like a god. He is treated like a king. The carpet is rolled out for that man. Okay. So you mean to tell me somebody that has done something so vile is going to be honored so highly? And I just cannot get down with it. Like, it is why I say all the time, religious spaces are so dangerous for children. They are so dangerous because they don't have accountability. They're not mandated reporters. They cover up sexual abuse. They literally will, literally cover for the men that do this stuff, make excuses for them. Their wives make excuses for them. And it's so horrendous. Like, I just, ugh, it's.
And when you're a child and you're put on a stand, right? Even if I was put on a stand today, they would back me or try to back me into a corner and they would mix up my words and mix up what I was saying. And they would walk away with a not guilty or they would plead down to a lower offense. Our judges and our individuals in the court of law need to hold a higher and a tougher stand for pedophiles because you know and I know that's a first time crime,
That's like
but
that college
that's not
girl.
the first time they did it.
There was a kid, Brock Turner, I think is his name, but he raped a couple of different girls, and it was so egregious. It was on video and everything, and this kid is walking free. Like, and I'm like, this is the problem. There is not strict enough punishment for pedophiles or rapists, period. We need stricter punishments for these people. They should never be able to have access to reoffend again, ever. Like, period.
And the more money you have in our court system, the
The
less
easier it is for
sentence
you to
you're going to
walk.
have.
Diddy is a great example of that, isn't he? It's so
Exactly.
sickening. Well, this has been a really great show that we've had here today. I've really enjoyed talking about these current events and being able to share a little bit with y'all. What do you think, Tita?
Same.
Did you enjoy it today?
Love it. I like the breakup. And I like making sure that people understand that you, as a Celtic minister, and me, as an atheist, we completely agree when it comes to the harm that religious spaces are holding today.
Absolutely. And as always, if you guys liked this episode, please hit that like button, subscribe button, and catch us back here again next week for another episode. And if you're ever interested in being on the show, send us an email at theawakeningpod@gmail.com. We would love to elevate your story of what it is that you had to survive religious trauma and abuse. Thanks for being here, everyone.
Much love. Thank you guys for joining today.
The preceding podcast is solely owned by its host or hosts and is distributed by Big Media LLC. Copyright 2025, all rights reserved.